Hey, Potters! Welcome to episode 33 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to all of our listeners here and around the world, because we do have a lot of worldwide listeners, and that is really cool. That is really cool.
We're special.
Yes. Well, speaking of international, best of luck to those who are competing as we're recording this. Or, well, I guess it would technically be tomorrow. Those who are preparing to compete at the World Cosplay Summit at Anime Matsuri. So, best of luck to all the competitors there.
And we know that some people who actually watch our show are competing today in the normal cosplay contest, which we can't watch right now because their stream's not working. Otherwise, I'd be watching it in the background while we're recording this.
Yeah, they may just be having technical difficulties because they were planning on streaming it live so that, you know, those of us that aren't there can watch. Unfortunately, that has not happened as of yet, as we actually have been periodically checking their live stream and it's just not up yet. So, unfortunately, we can't really, you know, give live reports on what's going on. So
it's a fail sauce. Well, I thought it was kind of cool because this year what they decided to do is they're doing a fan favorite, and you can actually text in who you want to win and they would receive a cash prize. They also printed out all of the contestants in their program book this year. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So anybody can vote for their favorite, and they don't actually have to be at the contest. That's neat. I can't vote for anybody because I know everybody. I know every single contestant this year. That's kind of creepy.
Well, it's also good that they print those things in the program book because not everybody knows everybody, so that if you want to vote for someone and you've forgotten their name, you have their name as a reference.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be kind of interesting for Akon to do.
70 contestants, that'd be a lot.
One page. There's just be one page.
Well, they also have pictures of everybody, too.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different.
Really nice pictures.
Yeah, that would take up a lot of space in the program. At least for the walk-ons, because that doesn't even count the people who are doing skits.
Exactly. That would be a lot. And but, you figure the max is six to a group, so you try to stick six people in that little itty-bitty box. Yeah. No.
But at any rate, what have you been working on cosplay-wise now that you're back and recovered mostly from PAX East?
I did not get the PAX pox. Yay. I thought that was disturbing, because you know how we have con crud and con cooties? No, they call this the PAX pox. That sounds like a very deadly disease. I don't want it. I think one of my friends did get it, though. I feel really bad for him. Because I always bring hand sanitizer with me. You've seen me with my hand sanitizer. She's not in her head. Yeah. I wash my hands before every meal, before I touch stuff, because I'm a nerd like that.
Plus, yeah, but, you know, hand sanitizer isn't the only thing that people need to do to keep themselves from getting contact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just want to make sure that that's clear, that it's not just the hand sanitizer that kept her from getting the PAX pox. It was other hygienic practices, too, of which congoers should practice anyway.
Yeah, eating two square meals a day, getting the double dose of vitamin C that I normally take. Yeah, normal stuff.
Showering
at least once a day, twice a day when I had face makeup on. let's see. For me, today has been all about cleaning stuff out since now that I'm back and now that we've fixed our house because our house has been under renovation to fix our foundation. And now we can actually move things out of our rooms. And now I'm actually able to set up my little sewing station. Yay! I get space again. And in the process of having space again, that means I have to clean out all of my old crap. I have officially chunked out 8 of my old costumes, things that I could not salvage, things that I know I could not sell, though I saved some zippers and buckles. Everything else has been thrown out, which is cool. So for me, it hasn't been sewing this week. It's been cleaning out all of my stuff, and sewing will resume tomorrow, and then I'll continue cleaning next weekend.
I know that you have a costume in the works, however.
I have 2 costumes in the works. She's making...
Do tell. This is a prompt. This is a nice, here you go on a silver platter. Here's your segue.
I don't want a segue.
Well, you can have a scooter if you want one.
Ooh, can I? Can I get a moped?
No, you can't have a moped.
But I want one. I want a moped. It's the closest thing I'll ever have to a motorcycle. Oh no. Oh no.
See this? This is what I'm working on. This has been my crafting project almost the entire morning, except the parts that you can't see that aren't sitting on that table. Isn't that nice? I'm prepping to paint, hence all the newspaper.
Right. Whee! There we go. And now she's back.
Yeah, you can't see all the wooden pieces that are actually sitting up against my wall waiting to be painted because I spent all morning, and I feel really bad for my neighbors actually because I started at 9 o'clock this morning. I couldn't go back to sleep this morning, so I started early. And I have been sanding all morning, both by hand with aluminum oxide sandpaper and using my rotary tool. And there have been
Nice.
splinters flying everywhere and all
Where?
sorts of wood particles. Huh?
I said they're probably going everywhere, huh?
Yes. It got so bad, even though I was wearing my approved sanding mask. I was wearing it all morning. And well, that helped with my breathing so that I wasn't inhaling the wood particles. It got all over my glasses, and some of it kept floating into my eyes because I don't have safety glasses with side shields, and the side shields are important. I mean, not just safety glasses, but safety glasses with side shields, or sometimes they call them splash shields. I'm going to get a pair of those when I go to the store, which is supposed to be either later tonight or tomorrow. But I ended up having to use forced ventilation to just kind of blow the, not smoke, but particulate, to blow it away from me because it kept, sitting right over my head like a cloud
Sure.
of despair. So I have this wonderful full room air circulator fan that I've been using to force circulation. It takes forever to sand. I just want to say that. Whenever
Oh,
you have to
it's a
sand,
butt ton of time.
especially woods that like to splinter and crack, like plywood, which is basically layers of recycled material. It takes even longer to sand because every time you end up breaking off a splinter or a piece, you have to re-sand the entire area where the splinter came off. Not just the base, but the entire segment, or you're going to break off more
More
splinters in
stuff.
that same area. And so I've been taking apart my wing frames, which are made of plywood, of course, which is what makes them so darn heavy. And because they came raw, unsanded, I found the splinters the hard way. I have been sanding off all of the edges. And then I'm going to prime, paint, and seal them, and then reassemble the wing frame with Chicago screws. Which, fun fact, they're also called binding posts, and they're also called sex bolts. And that's as close as I'm going to get to breaking the line that this is a family show. Series, I'm not joking. They are called sex bolts. And I don't know why, and I also don't want to know why. So, listeners, if you know why they're called that, don't tell me. Don't email me and tell me because I don't want to know. That way I can keep it a family show just in case it is for some, under the table reason that they're called that. But Chicago screws are awesome because it's like having a two-headed screw. Like both sides are screw heads, and like one end of it goes into the tube on the other end so that you can unscrew it at will if you need to, which I find is really awesome. I'm going to use it in armor so that I can just put one end of it in the armor permanently, and whenever I want to put the armor on, I just, have a little hole or a, what do they call them, an eyelet in my clothing. And I just stick the other end of the screw up through the eyelet in the clothing and then screw it into the armor so that I can just take it on and off at will and it will be sturdy and stable. It's going to be awesome. Least in my mind, it's going to be awesome.
It makes sense up here. We just have to get the actual thing constructed and done.
Yes. It's not even so much, I mean, it's awesome on paper too, but like in real life, I'm not sure if it's going to actually turn out awesome.
You don't really
Like
know until you sit down and finish it.
right. Plus, I have to kind of guess at the size of the screw that I need. Because these, like all, you know, accessories or attachment methods, they come in standard sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get custom sizes. So you kind of have to choose, and then you're stuck with that choice. Unless you want to purchase multiple sizes, which is very expensive.
Expensive. Home Depot gets a little pricey sometimes.
Actually, Home Depot, for the Chicago screws, I want to say is 3 times as expensive as Amazon.
Really? Oh, yeah. That sucks.
For a lesser quality, or not lesser quality, lesser quantity.
Quantity? Oh.
Yeah.
So it's probably good to go to Home Depot, figure out what size you need, and then buy it on Amazon. Whoops.
Well, I can just measure the foam.
Mm-hmm.
And then add on a little bit extra for the fabric. Because fabric isn't that thick.
No.
And it's better to go slightly small because the screw doesn't have to go all the way into the post if I don't need it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I can always go slightly small, but I can't go too large because the screw only goes in until it hits the end of the other screw, and then you can't go in anymore. So there is no shortening that. So you either go too small or just right, and I'm trying to go just right. Amazon's good for buying things in bulk.
That it is.
That's why it's cheaper. It's because you get it in bulk.
Thank you, Amazon. That's where I got all my liquid latex and my clay from.
Yes, I believe you were singing the praises of Amazon the other day.
Which is funny because Amazon and I have a very sordid history. The first time I used them was back in college, and one of my textbooks, this was back when Amazon was mostly for books, not for all this other crap they sell now. And a long, long time ago in a galaxy not that far away, but one of my professors had a textbook that you could only get on Amazon. And for some reason or another, they could never ship it out to me. It always came up as out of stock, but everyone else in my class had no problem getting the book. I was the only one. 6 months later, still did not have the stupid book. Class was already long gone. I had to copy it from a friend, like actually go to a photocopy machine and copy the entire flipping book. Amazon still could not ship out the book for some reason or another. And I don't remember what they did because it was so long ago, but I just remember getting so ticked off at them that I was like, I am not using your services ever again. This is horrible. It was one stupid book, and lots of people are still able to get the damn book. And then a couple of years later, a friend of mine convinced me to try Amazon again. They're not that bad. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll try it again. And then my book arrived like 2 days later. No problems. I haven't had a single problem ever since. I swear they flagged my account that says, do not piss this lady off.
Incidentally, the podcast is... We are not sponsored by Amazon.
No, we're not.
They are not a sponsor of ours, so Val is not singing the praises because they're paid to.
No. Because they pissed me off just that much that they know not to do it again.
But anyways, I believe that you have a review of a convention for us.
Yeah, this kind of transitions nicely because all my crap came from Amazon. Hey! So for those who do know or don't, quit making faces at me. You distract me with your faces. See, I can't cut to you when you're not making noises. I like it when it cuts on its own. So anyway, last weekend I was at PAX East, which was in Boston. Flipping cold and snowing. But it was in Boston, and it's a very pretty city. And I recommend people go to it for historical value, because the history stuff is super cool. And I went there initially just for as a gaming convention, because it really is about an exhibition. New products, new games being released. It's not meant for costuming stuff, but I know a couple of people there would be in costume, so I was like, oh, I'll just take a couple of photos anyway. And it ended up being a huge costume extravaganza. It blew my mind at how crazy the costumes were and how perfect that they all were. Maybe it's just a Northeastern thing. Because I've noticed that Northeastern cosplayers tend to be very up their game times 100, and then some. So it was mostly, I was there just to play video games, try out new products, see new things, go to a couple of panels, and it ended up turning into a costume weekend where I was going to events with other costumers, just talking to people. I even broke my rule this year and entered a costume contest. when I told myself I wouldn't do it. But I did anyway. And Amber's laughing at me because I broke my own rule. But. It was a type of costume contest where everybody got a prize just for entering. And I got myself a really... She's rolling her eyes. But I got myself a nice Mass Effect sweater that's $58. I got it for free. It was totally worth it. Quit making faces and quit shaking your head at me. You're not helping any. Quit it. Oh, Amber lost video. Are you back?
No, I willingly turned off the video.
Oh, she intentionally turned it off. I want your feedback. You can communicate and laugh and join in with me. It's okay.
But if I make noise, then it switches over to me, and then it breaks your whole line of review. So I'm just quietly staying in the background so it doesn't actually switch over to me.
I really thought I lost you, though.
No. No, if you would have lost me, I would have done something else.
This is true. This is very true. Then we would have been kicked off the air immediately since she's the one running the stream.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, for me, it was a lot of fun. I'm totally going to go back next year if I can, but I'm going to get all 3 days. Because 2 days there is not enough. This is a convention with like 60,000 plus people. I think they said it was 70,000 this year. And it's only been running for a couple of years. And I don't even know if the floor shots that I have even give a fraction of how big the crowds were. If you wanted to get anywhere or do anything, you needed to wait in line at least a minimum of 3 hours. It's just that massive, and I don't think my brain was fully ready for that. I'm used to like an hour wait at most, not 3 hours to get into a panel, which kind of makes me sad because I wanted they actually had two costuming panels on Friday and Saturday morning, and they were already filled an hour and a half before the panels even start. So I couldn't even get in if I wanted to. Maybe I should shoot for a press pass next year, and that would save us a lot of trouble.
Actually, from what I have heard from those who have been press, even they don't always get in.
Oh, yeah, I know they don't get in either. We found this out at the Square Enix panel on Friday. We started lining up about 2.5 hours beforehand, and a lot of the press members were not even allowed to get into the line. They had to line up just like everybody else, and once those doors close and the line is full, that's it. You're done.
That's the difference, is that press have to line up there just like everybody else.
That's kind of the cool thing about it, too, is that it's also a fan expo. So if you're a fan of video games, this is your type of event. Everyone has equal ground. Everyone is equally welcome. There's no VIP. There's no special instances of you doing this, you doing that. You're an equal with everybody else. But I've also found out that as a costumer, certain companies tend to give you a little bit more leniency. Maybe not leniency, but special presence. In particular, the guys at League of Legends, man, they pampered those cosplayers like nobody's business. If you guys have seen the League of Legends stuff, it's a lot of armor, a lot of bulky armor with a lot of bikini stuff, so it's not very comfortable to walk around in. But they were so cool, those cosplayers. They were like, whatever you guys need, whatever you guys want, you want to be the first ones into the booth, go for it. And that had like a 6-hour line, so I couldn't get into the booth. And it was the same thing with me with the BioWare stuff. BioWare actually had their own special area in the convention called the BioWare Base, where they held all of their panels, they held all of their events, and cosplayers were basically treated like royalty there. I was running late to one of their panels on Saturday. I was probably 2 minutes before the panel actually began, so I was like, crap, I'm not going to be able to get in. Walked up to the door, and they said, you're dressed up as one of our characters. They immediately shuttled me to the very front of the room, and I got to sit with all the other cosplayers, front row seating.
It's free marketing for them, is what it is.
Exactly. It is free marketing, and they have so much love and respect for their fans. I was like, this is awesome. I want more of this. Because I don't get this with other places. It only happens to me at video game conventions where I get treated like a fan. And that's so cool. So much love there.
It's also a little, they treat cosplay in general a little bit different. than other conventions where cosplay is more commonplace.
Here, it's definitely it's seen, but it's not as expected, and it's not all over the place. So when you do see it, almost everybody stops you and asks you for a picture. Everybody's very nice and respectful to you. It's not just, oh, run-of-the-mill so-and-so, run-of-the-mill so-and-so. No, it's like, holy crap, there's a cosplayer standing there amongst these 5,000 people who are in normal clothes. So yeah, what I definitely want to go back. If anything, just the atmosphere itself was great. Just being in that setting and being with true gamers, because when you're with gamers and you know that you're with the right gamers, it's not about exclusivity. They are very inclusive. They love everybody. They treat everybody equally. And I miss being around those type of people. You don't get to see that as much at anime conventions, unfortunately, because anime conventions kind of start wars in ways you don't want them to. But as gamers, yeah, Amber shakes her head because she knows. As gamers, you just love each other unconditionally. It's like, you're a gamer, cool, I'm a gamer too, let's roll. So I'm going to try my best to go back next year and actually get all 3 days so I can actually see some stuff. Because I wanted to play Elder Scrolls Online, not stand in for 8 hours. That's a long-ass line. I'd miss everything else in the process. And the last time for a while, I'm going to be painting my face, because, man, I'm tired of painting my face. I've done it like 3 times this year already. I'm sick of it. So you saw what I was wearing on Saturday, didn't you? She's shaking her head. You can go ahead and talk now. I'm done. My review's over with.
Oh, okay. That was kind of an abrupt stop.
Because I was asking you a question. I'm sorry, I didn't know if you saw what I was wearing.
I have seen the massive purpleness that was you on Saturday, yes.
Massive purpleness. This is thanks to Amazon. I got all my materials from Amazon. Oh, you don't need that. This is all my materials from Amazon. I made this bitch. Yay! I'm so proud of this thing.
Family show.
Whatever, I'll bleep it out.
Just say.
I don't care. I love this thing. And I know it's not perfect, but I love this thing. It's so awesome. I'm going to put it next to all my trophies because I think it's cool. Hey, this is a good segue, so there you go.
I was going to say, speaking of painting, perhaps we should go into our roundtable topic of skills that all cosplayers should have or know how to do, or be willing to learn.
Segway.
Yes, and we actually have picked up another live listener. Yay!
Sweet. I hope it's not me.
I don't know. There are 2 live viewers at the moment, so I don't know
I
who
know
they
I'm
are.
one.
Oh,
You
okay.
might be the other one.
Yay, we're watching ourselves. But at any rate, we had scheduled a roundtable for today, and unfortunately we weren't able to get anyone to join us. I various reasons why, I'm sure. But so it's just the two of us, hopefully coming up with ideas for this. Because I was actually hoping to kind of bounce this off other people and see what they thought. Because what I think is essential may not be what somebody else thinks is essential, especially if you kind of divide out cosplayer into different levels, like beginner, intermediate, advanced. You kind of have to know different things for those levels instead of just lumping it all into cosplayer.
Yeah,
Well,
very
like
true.
I wouldn't expect a beginner necessarily to know how to use a router. But it's a useful thing to know how to do.
Sure.
So it's one of those kind of things. So I think the biggest one that I had in mind when I actually came up with this topic was that all cosplayers should know how to take proper body measurements. Because it's not that that's an art in and of itself, but you have to be accurate and you have to be honest with yourself. And not all cosplayers do that when they make their cosplays, especially when they first start.
That's a good point.
And especially those who may not be comfortable with their body shape. Because not everybody is the ideal shape, but they want to try and kind of fit into that stereotype. And I think that, you know, everybody should have to see it once to see how you take proper body measurements, even if it's just the big three. And the big three are chest. I was trying to think bust and chest at the same time. Because men don't
Weird
have bust. Yeah. Men don't have bust. The term used in patterning. They don't have bust.
You're right.
But everybody has chest, waist, and hips. Although for men's patterns, they realistically only use chest, and I don't know why. Usually stereotypical men's shape is kind of like large and then flat as a board. So they think, I guess, waist and hips are supposed to be the same measurement, I guess. I don't know. I haven't worked with that many men's patterns, so I haven't really seen why they only use the chest measurement, which makes it all the more important that you know how to take a proper chest measurement, incidentally, if your pattern's based on it.
Yeah, my understanding with men pieces when it comes to patterns is that they always measure it from the largest part, and for most men, at least for the ones when they do the patterning, the largest part is going to be their chest. The rest of it just goes straight down. So,
yeah, I'm just kind of wondering why they don't include the other measurements, because...
Yeah, they should, but they don't.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the thing with women, though, like when we go to a store and try on 50 pairs of pants because, you know, apparently the size range there, we can't do, you know, 36 by 38. No, no, no. We got to do size 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah. Hate shopping for pants. I'm sorry. Quit laughing at me.
No, I'm just thinking, I can't remember the last time I tried on pants because I just go by the waist and hip size, and then if it's wrong in any of the other dimensions, then I fix it because I know how to sew.
Well, it depends on where do you go for pants, though. I mean, not all places have those type of measurements available.
Walmart. Because I'm poor.
I am too, but I do not go to Walmart.
Or I make my own. You know, I have been known to make my own pants.
Sure. I wait for sales to happen, and then I raid Macy's.
That works.
Yeah. So I know usually you don't get, like, the waist and the length measurements unless you go to the higher end stuff, but I don't know how Walmart does it, so.
Mostly.
Otherwise, you're stuck with generic 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Sweet. It's mostly by waist measurement that they do it at generic retail stores like Target and such. So basically, you can only get your waist size. Occasionally, they'll have inseam or side seam measurements, but that's not always the case.
Oh, okay.
So I end up just
not always
buying whichever
okay.
one fits my waist, and then you just kind of hope that the side seam is the right size, and if it's not, well, you fix it. Or you take it back.
Yeah. In our case, we would probably fix it.
Yeah. Well, not everybody can. Plus, not all sewing machines can.
Sure.
Because not all sewing machines will take denim.
Mm.
And most standard needles should realistically not be used for denim anyway.
Yeah. You need to actually have the right needle for it.
Speaking of, there's another essential skill. Knowing your way around a sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to know the names of every single moving part in a sewing machine.
Oh, heck no.
But you should probably know enough about the parts to know generally how a sewing machine works so that when it breaks, you know how to troubleshoot it. You know how to look for what's not working. For example, if oil is gunked up in say, your bobbin case.
As I learned out the hard way.
That is why I gave that example. But also to know the most common types of feet, especially the ones that come with a machine now, because they come with a lot more feet than they used to.
Oh, yeah. I think mine came with like 12.
And all of those feet have a purpose. You may not necessarily use them all, but it's good to know what they could potentially be used for. Everyone should know what the zigzag foot is for.
Yes.
Everyone should know what a straight stitch foot is for. Those two are probably the most popular feet that you will ever use in your entire sewing life.
Mm-hmm.
And on occasion, if you decide to do zippers, you may wish to use a zipper foot. I think those three cover almost everything all the way up through intermediate cosplay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, knowing basic accessories, and that includes the different needle types that can also be used in a machine. You don't necessarily have to know how to use them, just that you have that option. The nice thing about sewing machines is that all the parts are kind of named after their function. So leather needles are used to sew leather.
Mm-hmm.
And ballpoint or knitting needles are used to sew knits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that sort of thing. Like satin stitch is supposed to kind of mimic the brightness and sheen of satin.
Satin.
Yeah. You know, buttonhole or foots are used for making buttonholes.
Buttonholes?
Yeah. Buttonholes, kind of not buttholes. Buttonholes. Just saying.
It is a nice thing about sewing is that a lot of the parts are named after exactly what you want them to do. So you really don't have to kind of fiddle around and be like, what is the HK33? What is this thing supposed to be used for? No. It's a zipper foot. It's a zipper foot. It's going to be good, used for helping sew zippers on. But this kind of popped up into my head and kind of goes along the same train of thought. Maybe this is not necessarily a skill to have, but I think it's something that in our culture, as more youngsters are getting into cosplaying and sewing, this is probably something that they need to know about. Don't be afraid to make little mistakes, because mistakes are going to happen. They're going to happen all the time. They happen even to the guys who have been doing this for their entire lives, 20 plus, 30 plus years. And it's almost kind of a skill unto itself, because when you make a mistake, you're going to learn from your mistakes. So don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to make those mistakes, because that's the only way you're going to get better. No one is good first time out. They probably spent months and months and months making a lot of little mistakes before they realize, oh, I'm doing this wrong. Here's how I'm supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a skill to make mistakes.
I think a pair of these for those who want to go into prop making, know your way around safety equipment, at least very basic safety equipment. Know what goggles are, know what a respirator is, certainly know how to use them, even if you may not always need them, but do know how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely use gloves when you need them, and know what the different types may mean for those who have allergies. If you're allergic to latex, you probably shouldn't be wearing latex-based gloves.
Yeah.
But you may not think to think about that. So it's one of those, just kind of understand that there are different materials that are used to make these things. And so that's something to be aware of if you are allergic to certain materials. And going along with that for prop making is know your way around a basic toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't necessarily use all the tools in your toolkit. Heaven knows I certainly haven't used all the tools that are in my toolkit. But there are certain tools that you will use over and over again, and it's good to know how to properly use them. You know, hammers, screwdrivers, pliers, a couple different types of pliers, pipe wrench may be useful, clamps certainly. And heaven knows there's 10,000 different kinds of tapes and adhesives, but you don't have to know them all. But having a couple basics on hand would certainly be useful. You don't have to know how to use power tools, oddly enough. You can do almost anything that you want to do with props with hand tools.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. An X-Acto knife is your best friend. Mm-hmm. Second to hot glue.
And tape.
And tape.
I tend to find tape a little more useful on that score.
See, what's interesting is that the staff that I made for Riddell, and we actually used your section staff tutorial, we didn't use any power tools for that. It was all just basic stuff that we had in our home already.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out fantastically.
A lot of these you will find in your house already.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with that, speaking of hand tools, I honestly think every cosplayer should know how to hand sew. I mean, what do you do if your machine breaks down?
Second, thirded, fourth, fifth, sixth, that one. Oh, my God.
Or, you know, because this will happen to you, cosplayers, at a convention. This will happen to you. It's not if, it is when.
It will
You will have
happen.
something. You will have something tear in your costume.
Yep.
You will have a seam break somewhere, or someone will tear one for you. I mean, it has happened. Something will break in your costume.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're willing to haul your machine with you to every convention and all the accessories and resources that go with it, you need to know how to fix it by hand, and you need to know how to fix it quickly. And if you want to be really precise about it, you need to know how to fix it without it being seen. And hand sewing, I think, is just one of those essential skills that all cosplayers need to know how to do, even if it's just for mending purposes.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where I still have people who say, you know how to hand sew? I'm surprised at how much of a dying art that is, because it comes in handy. It's a quick fix. You can't take your sewing machine everywhere. Even my little dinky $15 shark machine, which is like only this big, I can't take that with me everywhere. It's impossible. Hand sewing will save you so much time, so much energy, and it'll free up your bag for swag.
You said it's handy. Punny.
I'm a punny, funny person. Not intentionally. Yours better.
Well, obviously, because I caught it and you didn't.
I know, right?
I was just waiting for you to finish your sentence so I could, like, sit there and go, you made a pun.
I need to bring Jessie to you, who does a lot of really good costumes. She is a super punny lady, too. The two of you would be going at it all day.
Probably.
Let's see, what else do people need to know? I think it's also good to know that if you're starting out, you don't have to do the crazy-ass stuff like this. You don't need to necessarily know how to do this, because there are people that you can commission this stuff from. This, to me, was my challenge, and I wanted to learn how to do this. So you don't have to go into it thinking that you need to learn how to work with latex, that you need to learn how to make a hoop skirt, that you need to learn how to make a corset. If you want to learn how to do that, fantastic. Go for it. There's lots of resources online. Google is your friend. But you don't have to think that you have to be the best at everything unless you want to learn how to do it.
I only have two more, actually, and then I'm out of ideas.
Uh-oh. We need more people. People show up next time, please. Maybe
actually,
this is just
I'm...
a bad weekend.
It could have been, because this is, speaking of, happy Easter to those who celebrate it. This is Easter weekend when we're recording this.
Happy Egg Day.
Yes. Oh, for our icon, I need to use the bunny bike.
Oh my God. Amber found
I'll
this
explain
ridiculous
that. I'll explain
bike.
In the after session. People
yeah,
can go listen
you'll find
in the after
out.
Session. Yeah. But I think one of the skills all cosplayers need to know how to do is to assemble an emergency repair kit.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Everyone may not repair in the same way, so you don't necessarily need the same things to go in it, but almost all kits will have certain basics. Hand needles, thread, scissors for hand sewing. Pins, in case you need to pin something together. Some people may use, what do they call them, clothespins?
Yes.
Instead of pins, especially if you have leather or things that will not take kindly to holes. Some sort of adhesive can be helpful, depending on, you know, your preference of adhesive. It can be something like tacky glue. It can be masking tape. It can be duct tape, super glue. I mean, there are many dozens of adhesives, but generally you will want some sort of adhesive in your repair kit just to hold something together. Which okay. one you bring along with you just depends on how long you want to wait for it to stick together and what you're sticking together. I'm trying to think of what else you could have in an emergency repair kit that is an essential, a basic thing that you have to have. But
needle,
I think those
thread, adhesive.
Cover it.
Yeah?
I think those are the basics that you always, always, always have to have. And anything beyond that is just kind of extra as you need it.
Mm-hmm. Because your emergency repair kit doesn't have to be anything too crazy. As long as you've got needle thread, and I have a mini hot glue gun that I keep with me, because that just seems, if I don't use it, I know somebody around me will use it.
Oh yeah, for those who do bring the emergency repair kits, sometimes you will find other cosplayers coming up to you going, can I borrow your emergency repair kit? Because I didn't bring one.
Exactly.
So, it's always good. I mean, you can fit an entire emergency repair kit in a sandwich-sized Ziploc bag. They're not.
This is mine from last weekend.
Yeah, they're not anything spectacularly special because this is meant to be a quick repair. This isn't meant to actually like be a perma repair on your costume because you can do that when you go home. Or if you brought your sewing machine, you can do it with that. This is just kind of meant as a, this will tide me over. This is like the power bar of sewing. It will tide you over until your next meal or repair.
Nice.
That's all this is.
I like that, the power bar. It's the power bar and the five-hour energy sometimes.
I find power bars tend to be a little more useful than five-hour energy, and a little more healthy, too.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get hopped up on five-hour energy. That stuff's not good for you.
Yeah, the last one is that I think all cosplayers should definitely know the difference between pressing and ironing.
Yeah.
Pressing, to put this succinctly, is taking the iron, putting it down, letting it sit there for a couple of seconds, and then picking it straight up. There is no lateral movement. It is up and down. That is pressing. Literally, pressing the iron down and then picking it up. That is pressing. That's what you use for fusibles. When it says press, it literally means press, up and down. It does not mean iron, which iron is the one with the lateral movement, the side to side, the thing that you normally do for your work slacks and your work shirts and formal wear and that sort of thing. That is ironing. Ironing is the back and forth. If you try and do ironing on fusibles, basically what that does is it takes the little dots of resin that have been carefully placed on the fabric in a little matrix pattern, and it shifts them all over to one side so that it's no longer even. So now you have a big blotch of the resin over here, and you have absolutely nothing over here, so that your fabric here won't stick to anything because there's no more resin. You've moved it because the iron pushed it. So hence, this is why you don't iron fusible fabrics. You press them.
You press
so that the resin sits there and stays there. Yeah, you iron when you want to get the wrinkles out of something. If you want to open up seams, you press. Well, I mean, you can actually iron seams because there's no fusibles. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it will tell you to press seams open. So press seams open. See, press, iron, segue.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I try.
The one, I don't know, I don't think we actually mentioned this one that came to my mind. Know your fabrics.
Ooh, we didn't mention that one.
That's probably a good one to have. I know most of us, as we're starting out, probably go immediately to cottons, because cottons are really easy to work with. They're good for so much stuff.
And cheap.
And super cheap. Yay, we like cheap. But cottons work differently from satin. Satin works differently from spandex. Spandex works differently from velvet. You got to know what costumes, well, what fabric's going to be appropriate for which costume, and how they move, how they flow, how they work. And it's really just a matter of playing with these fabrics. And I've done it before where I'll spend an hour walking through the fabric store just messing with fabric and playing with them and being like, okay, this one moves this way, this one moves this way. This would probably be better as a cape fabric, this would probably be better as a dress fabric. So
get yourself one of these. This is probably backwards on your screen, and I am very sorry for that. I can't.
No, you're good.
I can't mirror it, but they sell fabric handbooks. And this is actually for reference. So I honestly think every cosplayer should have a fabric handbook. It doesn't have to be Butterick. But these will have not only how you should iron them, how you should maintain them, but also sometimes they'll have the burn test, which, Val, I will let you explain what the burn test is, because, yeah, I probably shouldn't. But it will also have things like how the fabric will react to certain chemicals, say dye or bleach. Mm-hmm. And it will also have how some of the fabrics react to moisture. You know, do they collect moisture well? Do they get damp? Or are they water resistant? Do they wrinkle easily? Do they fray mm-hmm. easily? Stuff like that. It will have all of the major qualities that you need to know about the fabric in the handbook. So please explain the burn test.
The burn test is basically how you can determine what the fabric is if you don't really know what the fabric is. Like, you just take this little swatch that you cut out. Like, I'll take, for example, this. cut out a little piece of this.
Little
Not the
piece.
entire thing, like a little piece, like maybe that much of
Yeah, not like 4 inch by 4 inch. This is
No.
not a quilter's block. This is literally like a 1 inch by 1 inch square. This is tiny.
Super, super tiny.
Because you're going to...
You're going to set it on fire. And basically the way that it burns, the color of it, and the smell of it can help determine what the fabric is if you're not entirely sure. So you have to be very careful, and we recommend doing this probably like in a kitchen sink, so you can immediately douse it in water if it's the size that go pfft. But it's a good way to determine what your fabric is if you don't know what it is.
This is also the reason why we have, or why people are told to cut a very small square, because if something were to happen, it's a lot easier to control a 1-inch square than it is to control a 4-inch square, especially if it's on fire.
Especially if it's like polyester and like a non-man-made fabric where it can go poosh.
Yeah, do bear in mind that, you know, some of the books will have burn test results for you. The book doesn't always tell you that some of these fabrics seriously smoke. And if you have a smoke detector anywhere near where you're going to be doing this burn test and you don't know what that fabric's going to do, again, another reason to cut a very, very small square, because that thing's going to put up a ton of smoke right next to your smoke detector. So small square is there for a reason.
It also smells bad sometimes.
Oh, geez. Tell me about it. The last time I did a burn test, I couldn't get dinner out of my kitchen because my entire kitchen smelled disgusting. Seriously. And, of course, my smoke detector is right next to my kitchen.
Of course.
Yeah. So I lit the fabric on fire. Incidentally, when you light the fabric on fire, put it in a set of tweezers.
Yeah, tweezers help.
Or pliers, or a pipe wrench, or something that will hold it away from your body. Do not light the fabric on finger when it is held between your fingers. Because
Bad
if
things
you,
will happen.
The whole point of the burn test is that you don't know what the fabric is. You may not know that that fabric burns particularly well, especially organics like wool, that light on fire very quickly. And if you have it in your fingers and you don't realize just how quick that thing's going to go, you can seriously burn yourself.
Amber and fire.
Safety first. From experience. Actually, I have never lit fabric on fire while holding it. I've always put it in between tweezers.
Okay, good.
Or pliers. I've never actually like burned myself doing that.
Good.
But I have smoked up my kitchen, and I have made my kitchen smell absolutely disgusting for about 2 hours. Which, you know, what can I say? I didn't know the content of what I was holding, so I
and
didn't
we
know how
to know.
We needed to know how this would react because this was one of the things that was not in the fabric handbook. So for science, we did research.
Science solves everything.
Or at the very least, it gives you more information than you had. So yeah, it's just one of those things. So I think between those, we've covered the basic skills, at least that we can come up with, that all cosplayers should know regardless of level.
I think there's only one, but I think this is kind of like a despairing, I know some people are like, meh, 50-50 on it, but understanding basic patterns, not necessarily how to make a pattern, because
how to read them.
How to read them, because making your own patterns kind of advanced, and I do that. Not everybody does that. You can buy your own patterns, I don't care, but being able to read the pattern is probably a good skill to have. I do not have this skill. I suck at reading patterns. That's why I make my own. I admit to this.
I'm actually really good at reading patterns because I use them so often.
We complement each other so well.
Yes. Well, my particular body shape is one that it can be very difficult to make patterns for by scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it easier to use commercial patterns because I have commercial proportions. I have the proportions that are on the envelope. It's not quite the same way that they design their clothing because I have other special circumstances that are different than the patterns are built for. But at least I have the same starting proportions. So
sure.
That tends to help. So it also helps to have a sewing dictionary. Ooh, for when yeah. they use terms in the patterns that you may not understand. If they tell you to lay something out with a nap layout, then you need to understand what that means. If they tell you to make a French seam or to gather, then you need to understand what technique that they're referring to. You don't necessarily need to know how to do that technique because the pattern is supposed to help you along with that. But even if you don't know how to do it, your dictionary should also show you how to do it in a very condensed sort of sense. Mm-hmm. And of course, the internet knows everything, so you can always search for it in your favorite search engine. And I'm sure you can find all sorts of tutorials. Not to mention, we have a podcast. It's all
really?
About tutorials. It's
do?
All about tutorials.
What?
We can show you how to do stuff.
I was doing that not too long ago. I was actually showing somebody how I do my eye makeup for Rydia. And in fact, it's still on.
Mm-hmm. So,
we're here to help.
Yeah, if you don't understand something in a pattern, ask.
I mean, between the two of us, one of us has to know.
I mean, you could say that about any sort of technique that you don't know how to do. If you don't know how to do something, or if you don't know what material that you need to do a certain project, or heck, if you have a material and you don't know what the heck it is, ask. The worst someone's going to tell you is, I don't know, or no. Well, one of those two answers would be like the worst possible
most people
you know, outcome
tell
of that.
So.
Well, it depends on what you're asking them. I mean, if it's a question that no isn't like an appropriate answer for it, then I mean, the worst you'll get is I don't know. So there is that.
Yeah.
All right. So I believe that concludes this particular cost philosophy discussion. I think I'm just going to call it a cost philosophy instead of a roundtable, since we don't actually have other people here.
But we probably,
what
I probably do is just stick this up on Facebook and see if we can get more input, because that'd be kind of cool. Maybe start like a little page on our website. Here's all the crap you should know in order to cosplay.
Yeah,
but
I can always.
Worded.
I can link that in the tutorials section of our website, and we could just have a separate section for it. And listeners, if you have a suggestion for a skill, technique, or bit of knowledge that you think all cosplayers should know how to do or be willing to learn how to do, send us a note over any of our social media and we can include it in our compilation.
We so easily amuse ourselves.
Yes, and with that, I believe we will bring episode 33 to a close. So
yep.
Happy Easter, everybody who celebrates it. Happy
Passover. Chocolate and eggs.
Yes. Also, make sure that you watch how much chocolate and eggs that you eat, because, of course, you have to be in cosplay shape for upcoming conventions. But a little bit of chocolate every now and then isn't a bad thing.
It's always good to have.
Indeed. And if you guys are working on any interesting cosplays, let us know. Because
we
would love to give you a shout-out on the show for what you're working on. So do let
us know. We're spamming our Facebook more and more recently, and we've been having more user feedback. So we like talking to people.
Oh, and if you've hung around this long.
Oh, yeah.
We have a bit of an announcement. See, you get rewarded for sticking with us instead of turning us off as soon as we start rambling.
I still can't believe that some people actually listen to us while they're crafting. I think that's hilarious.
Hey, I have no complaints. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. But for this quarter, we have our contest for Epic Cosplay for our gift card, and we have come up with a different sort of contest that involves our website. Basically, what we are going to do, and this is all going to be entirely on our website. You are not going to find this on any of our social media unless we really feel like putting it up on Facebook, which is kind of cheating.
But
what we are going to do is we are going to announce two trivia questions, and you have to find the answer to them on our website. The answers will be publicly posted
in
the open. They will be out in the open on our website. So you will be able to find it, but you have to go to our website to find it. And it will be on the About Us page, because that's where you find out the info about us. And so with that, you have to answer both questions, theoretically, and you will get two entries into our contest. For each question you answer correctly, you will get an answer. For each correct answer, you will get an entry.
There we go.
So for two correct answers, you get two entries. If you only get one of them correct, you get one entry. You can only enter the contest one time for this reason. You can't go and find the correct answer after we tell you it's wrong and then put in the correct one. It doesn't work that way. You get one shot. And of course, this is all publicly available information on our site, so you will be able to find it. And you can send the answers to us via any of our social media. So if you want to email us, you can do that. If you want to PM us via Facebook, you can do that. If you want to PM us over DeviantArt, you can do that. You can also PM us over YouTube. You can tweet us. You can do any of those methods, but you have to give us the correct answers to the trivia questions. So once you've done that, you will be entered in our raffle for the Epic Cosplay gift card. Since this episode is not going to drop for another week, this will run all the way until, what do you say, Val? Second week of May?
That sounds good to me, because that'll be plenty of time.
Yep.
Say the week before Dallas Comic Con, that sounds good to me.
So I will go ahead and make the deadline for this as being May 12th. By May 12th, you have to get us the correct answers to the trivia questions to be entered into our contest. And then we will announce the winners on the next episode after that point.
Yep.
And, of course, we'll blog the winners on our social media once we have that.
It's free money to Epic Cosplay. You can't say no to that.
Indeed. Do you have your question?
No, not yet. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
Do we want to post it maybe after this episode or after the show? Or we can work out something.
We will post the questions on our social media for everyone
right.
to see. Everyone can see the questions, but the answers are only going to be on our website.
Right.
On the About Us page. So keep an eye out on our social media and you will see both questions. There's going to be one for each of us.
Yeah.
All right. So now that you've stuck around this long, bye!
Bye, guys!
Thank
We're closing
you
our episode for today.
Indeed. Thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for giving us 10,000-plus hits on our website this month.
Yay! We're ACOM worthy.
That is incredible and awesome, and we have met the benchmark for ACOM Press this month. So that makes us very, very happy. And of course, there's still another day or two left in this month, so we're going to have even more than that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. That is awesome.
Doing the white girl shuffle.
After session time!